Good morning and welcome, especially any visitors who might be here, and welcome to all that are watching on live stream today. I'm Wendy Zenker, today's worship guide. Pastor Nigel is at Pastor's Conference that's being held as we speak in Concordia College. Please remember all our pastors in your prayers these coming weeks, especially with a very important synod coming up. This morning, John Garrett, who's been licensed to consecrate Holy Communion, will administer communion for us, and he's doing that in Pastor's absence today. And later on this morning, we will have a pre-recorded video sermon put together by Bishop Paul Smith. So we will look forward to that later. And with the plethora of conferences and synod and all those things happening, our coffee and chat group is affected with just such an event. So the Lutheran Women of Australia General Convention will be held in Murray Bridge from the 1st of October until the 3rd of October. And so that means coffee and chat has been postponed till the 10th of October to allow some of our members to attend the convention. So please remember that coffee and chat will be on the 10th of October and it will be our AGM. Of course, all this information is in the community news, so check it out in your emails or in the paper form that's usually available at the desk every Sunday, especially as we head into this busy time of the year. Let's begin now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In faith we come together, in humility we kneel before God, who grants the gift of life and guides the ways of the righteous. Let us attend to the truth of the living word. Let us worship God in Christ, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Friend. Let us pray. Spirit of God, you fill our lives with the light of the gospel. You come to us with healing, hope, and truth. We open our inner being to your presence. Teach us your ways. Create in us clean hearts that seek only to serve our Saviour. Unite us as one people, embraced by your love and discerning of your call on our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. And our first song, Here I Am to Worship. Thank you, dearie.
Together, wonderful to me. Good morning. I'm the John Garrett that Wendy mentioned. That's we'll be conducting the communion part of our service today. But beforehand, I'm here also to conduct the being put right with God. So we are gathered here in the presence of God, whom we name as the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. May God's peace rest upon us and within us. We are gathered here to receive of God's gracious gifts as he serves us in this time of worship. God desires to forgive our sins, to cast aside all that would separate us from him, to wipe the slate clean. God desires that we put right with him by simply acknowledging our failings and receiving the forgiveness that he freely offers. May the following prayer be our shared request of God. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we confess before you that we are far from perfect. We show this time and again in what we do and what we fail to do, in what we say and in what we fail to say. We confess that we have not loved others as you love us. Often we only love on our terms, our conditions, rather than loving unconditionally as you love us. Forgive us, Lord, for how we so easily practice your absence rather than your presence. Graciously forgive us for the sake of your Son, Jesus. Have mercy on us. And once more, even though we don't deserve this, amen. And we pray, inasmuch as this prayer has been your prayer, inasmuch as you have asked us, so you receive. Hear now that by the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus, all your sins, past, present, and future, have been dealt with once and for all by the way of the cross. Our sins are forgiven. We can be at peace with God, for he is at peace with us. Now we welcome Helen to the readings.
The first reading for today is from James chapter 5, a prayer offered in faith. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you ill? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from the death and cover over a multitude of sins. This is the word of the Lord. And the second reading for today is from Mark chapter 9. Teacher, said John, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us. Do not stop him, Jesus said, for no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Truly I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to the Messiah will certainly not lose their reward. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands and to go into hell where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worms that eat them do not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with one another. This is the word of the Lord.
Trust is without borders. Let me walk. with me, or be with us now, Lord, as we pray the offering prayer. May the gifts we bring be a means of healing and hope for our troubled world. May we share in God's transforming mission. May we build up the body of Christ to keep us firm in faith, strong in obeying Christ's call, and willing to embrace all people in loving kindness. Amen. And now we're going to have a message from Bishop Paul Smith, who had recorded this, pre-recorded this video sermon for us. Lord, open our hearts as we hear the message now.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm Paul and serve as Bishop of our Lutheran Church of Australia and New Zealand, and it's my joy to proclaim the gospel for you this day based on the text from Ephesians chapter 3 verses 12 to 17. I would like to read that for you and then we'll pray. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom and with gratitude in your hearts. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. So a question for you. Who taught you the gospel? Who taught you the gospel? Often the first person who comes to mind is a pastor or a Sunday school teacher. Maybe you were taught the gospel by mum or dad or by a grandparent, sometimes by an auntie. And when asked that question, people will often remember learning the gospel from Sunday sermons or some formal instruction in faith, like their confirmation. This scripture that's set for today's message from Colossians invites us to think of how we learned the gospel in two ways. In terms of a message that is formally taught and of a message that is caught. A message that is learning the gospel as a way of life, of faith that is active in love. Many students who went to our Australian Lutheran Australia and New Zealand at Lutheran Teachers College from the 1970s right through to the 21st century. Remember Pastor Rolf Mayer. Rolf Mayer as a key influence, as someone who taught them how to explain the gospel. Pastor Rolf helped many people to finally tune their gospel radar so that they might clearly identify what's genuinely the gospel of Jesus Christ compared with what might be pretending to be the gospel. That pretending is where we make Christian life into a new moral code, a list of do's and don'ts. That pretending is when we figure if we do everything on our list of do's and don'ts, then God should let us into heaven. And Dr. Martin Luther called that rewriting of the gospel into a list of do's and don'ts, turning Christ into Moses. Pastor Rolf Mayer's personal story was not just about learning to teach the gospel by words and clear definitions, which he did very, very well, but also of learning the gospel as a way of life, of faith that is active in love. Pastor Rolf had his own experience of the gospel at work in Christian community, and many don't know that throughout Rolf's adult life, he was an active member of the same Lutheran congregation, Emmanuel Lutheran Church, North Adelaide. And there's a story of his journey there that I want to tell you.
One year there was a minor conflict in the congregation, and in one study group, Pastor Rolf directed his pastor to something that Rolf had read. He remembered being written in a sermon by Dr. Martin Luther. And this was something of how a Christian community maps their way through disagreement. It was how a Christian community works through conflict as people who are people of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Rolf remembered reading this very helpful sermon from Dr. Martin Luther about 1 Peter chapter 4, something that Martin Luther wrote in the year 1522. And in this sermon, Martin Luther is explaining a particular verse: love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. In this context, Martin Luther wrote these words: learn here to seek your neighbor as a lost sheep, to cover his shame with your honor, and let your sanctity be a cover for his sins. But now when people come together, they hack one another to pieces to prove how fiercely they fight against sin. Therefore, you men, whenever you come together, do not hack the people to pieces. And likewise, you women, when you come together, cover the shame of others and do not make wounds which you cannot heal. And if you come across two in a chamber, throw your cloak over both and close the door. In remembering this quote from Dr. Martin Luther, I think Pastor Rolf Mayer was on a kind of gospel autopilot as he remembered a key connection. That is, a Christian community that's based on the gospel of Jesus Christ seeks to live by faith that is active in love. Faith that is active in love. Remember, everyone, the scripture verse, the Bible verse that Dr. Luther was preaching about in that sermon was, love covers a multitude of sins. Yes, this connection of faith that is active in love is so easy for us to miss as God's people. You might say that it's something like a missing the wood for the trees kind of thing for Christians. We miss that as people of the gospel. We are people of word and deed that's summarized in this word love. And being reminded of that connection, this connection of faith active in love, being reminded of that is quite vital, I think, to properly hear what's written in this scripture that's before us, this word of God that's in the message that I bring you today, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3 unfolds the language of faith in Jesus Christ, faith in the gospel that is active in love. Hear the words of the text again. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another. And if any has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must also forgive. And above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So how is this love expressed according to this passage? What's tremendous about our scripture verse for today is the Apostle Paul gives a very, very succinct list: compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. If you listen to these words that the apostle uses, they're words that focus me on other people, not on myself. Compassion is looking out for your needs. Kindness is serving you to do good for you. Humility is lifting you up. Meekness is making space for you. Patience is allowing you to have time to be you, and bearing with each other, forgiving each other is the call that I'm focused on you. This is an extraordinary list that is placed before us in this scripture passage. As garments is the metaphor that show us what faith that is active in love means, of being people living by the gospel, a faith that's focused on the other. Also, it's telling us that our Christian righteousness is not for showing off how far I have progressed up some ladder of holiness, lest I'm tempted to declare, hey, look, I'm righteous and sorry about you. No, rather, this text is telling me, how can I use the blessing God has given me in my life to be a blessing to that other person, especially for those caught up in sin or in trouble? Yes, these robes of righteousness that we are given as Christians are for sharing, and it's what prompts Martin Luther in this key, in this message, that in this sermon that Pastor Rolf Mayer remembered. Luther goes on from that these robes are for sharing to the alternative for sharing, which is shaming. Shaming. Martin Luther wrote, "But now when people come together, they hack one another to pieces to prove how fiercely they fight against sin." Each of us have seen that shaming happening, especially in the church, and maybe we've been guilty of doing that ourselves. People too often busily point out the sin in others and think, if I can show the unrighteousness of that other person, then maybe I will look a little better myself. Maybe I won't look so bad if I can point out the problem of that other person. Now, if this sermon message stopped here, you would have only heard Christ made into a new Moses. You would have only heard about a new Christian law, which we could then go about accusing others. You're a faulty Christian because you don't love properly. But Martin Luther's message about throwing the cloak of righteousness over others gives the reason for living by faith that is active in love, by pointing out that this faith is entirely and solely focused on Christ Jesus and on the work of his cross. So why do we resist the temptation to hack others to pieces for their faulty Christianity? Why do we throw our cloak of righteousness over others, even sinners? Luther explained it really clearly. He said, we know that that's what we want done for us. It's what we need done for us. And this is what the gospel teaches when we pray, I am a poor, helpless sinner myself. When we declare, I know that by my own understanding or strength, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. And so we pray, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. The first part of understanding this reason is knowing myself and my sinful nature that I share with others. An easy way to remember this is when I point the accusing finger at someone, and when I stretch out the accusing finger to point to them and look carefully at what my hand is doing. If I look at the fingers of this accusing hand, I have one finger pointing to the other, while there are three little fingers pointing back to me, reminding me that I too have sinned and deserve God's punishment in time and in eternity. We gather Sunday by Sunday as God's people, and we look around at those in the pews beside us, and we are reminded that the people beside me need the gospel just like I do. So the first part of why this way of love is our common need for the mercy of God, that's this first part of this reason that Martin Luther gives. But then he explains the second part of this reason. Yes, it's what I need done for me, but then he goes on to say, that is what Christ does. He too keeps silent, Martin Luther says. He too keeps silent and covers our sin. He too could bring shame on us and tread us under his feet, but he does not do so. You must do the same. He says, a virgin must place her crown on a harlot. A saintly wife must give her veil to an adulteress. And all that we have we must make into a cloak for sinners. For each man will have his lost sheep to recover, each woman her piece of silver, and all that is ours must belong to another. It's a powerful phrase. That is what Christ does. That is what Christ does. He's gone to the cross for me and for the person beside me. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned human being, and purchased and freed me from all sins, from death and the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy and precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. He has done this that I may belong to him, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in eternal righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. This is the gospel. In the name of this gospel faith focused on Jesus Christ and his cross, we then teach this gospel to each other in word and in deed. When the apostle wrote these words, when St. Paul wrote to this congregation in Colossae, he was dealing with a group called the Circumcision Party. These were the Jewish Christians who looked down on the non-Jewish Gentile converts, and there was a division amongst God's people. And throughout Paul's letters, including in this letter to the Colossians, the apostle reminds the people of their baptism over and over. We have been baptized into Christ and received grace upon grace, each gathered into the arms of the Good Shepherd, each forgiven sin and given full life and salvation. He's inviting us to see each other as heirs of the kingdom, baptized into Christ as sisters and brothers, baptized into his death and raised to walk in newness of life, and sent to be little Christs to each other. And so, with that focus of our common baptism into Christ, in the scripture before us, he gives instruction of clothing ourselves in this love of God in Christ, that we would point each other to what Christ has done for us. Clothing yourselves in love, which binds everything together in perfection. We sometimes hear people quoting a scripture about speaking the truth in love for the way that they address a sister or brother in Christ. And sometimes that speaking is very harsh, sometimes denigrating, sometimes designed to shame the other, or it's cruel, and all the time speaking and declaring that this is intended to represent the love that we hear from this scripture in Colossians. But in listening to the words from Colossians chapter 3, we get a good checklist for speaking the truth in love, the truth that is faithful to this gospel of Jesus Christ. Is my speaking compassionate? Is my speaking kind? Is my speaking humble? Is my speaking meek? Is my speaking patient? Does my speaking bear with the other person? Does my speaking forgive as I have been forgiven? And everyone, you know that is so similar to another checklist that St. Paul gives in 1 Corinthians 13, checking the way of love. Is my speaking patient? Is my speaking kind? And a check in Corinthians 13 about confirming, is my speaking neglecting to throw the cloak of the gospel over the other person? So the apostle goes on in Corinthians 13, is my speaking envious, boastful, arrogant, rude, insisting on its own way? So we pray Sunday by Sunday, Lamb of God, who takest away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. Our text from Colossians chapter 3 ends with a call to living by faith that is active in love to the glory of God, and even speaks of singing together. The text says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and with gratitude in your heart, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You may not realize that every year we are reminded of this scripture, of this call to love, to live by faith that is active in love, we regularly hear this whole section of Colossians chapter 3 read as one of the Sunday readings in our three-year lectionary. And the actual Sunday that the reading is set for us to hear gives good insight into this call to faith that is active in love and how it's grounded in the gospel of God in Christ coming to us. It's the timing of this particular Sunday that we hear this reading regularly from Colossians that's a good reminder for us as sisters and brothers in Christ to be people of the gospel publicly before the world. Friends, Colossians 3 is listed as a Bible reading for the first Sunday after Christmas every year. And those responsible for our General Pastors Conference Planning Committee chose this scripture as the key scripture and theme for this conference this year. And so it's set then also as a reading for today. But each year, as we gather on that Sunday after Christmas, we are reminded of this call to be clothed in love. So, each year, we've gone to the Lord's manger at Christmas and we've heard the angels proclaim glory to God in highest heaven and on earth peace. And then we've joined with sisters and brothers in Christ around the world and sung joy to the world, the Lord has come. Each Christmas, we've gathered to hear God's promise fulfilled. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And now here is this good news of God for us and God with us, Emmanuel. Now we all know how quickly the world moves on from Christmas. We've seen Boxing Day sales blasted on our screens already on Christmas Day. But on the Sunday after Christmas, we Christians are given this reading from Colossians to go into the world as people of this gospel, of this good news of God's promise fulfilled, this gospel that sustains and inspires us for the year ahead. And we are sent into the world to bear this gospel of faith in Christ, faith that is active in love, for one another before the world. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, the apostle says, that whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Calvary, where Jesus us pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we praise your holy name. You are our creator, healer, and sustainer, and we thank you for loving us with an everlasting love. So much so, you gave your son Jesus, who died and rose again, that we might have life in him and life in all its fullness. You have seen us through another week, and we stand at the start of a fresh new week full of new beginnings. Thank you for the abiding presence of your Holy Spirit that enables us to have peace in our hearts through the tough times in life and give you the praise and thanks in the joyful times. We are blessed to be able to gather together in your name without fear, and so we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world who are persecuted for believing and trusting in you. We pray for people where there is conflict around the world, and that peace will be restored. Let there be aid available for the refugees, the injured, and the brokenhearted. We thank and praise you for this great country, Australia, that we have the privilege to live in. We pray for the turning back to you, and that we humbly rely on the blessings of Almighty God, as declared in the preamble to our federal constitution. Our Father, be with Prime Minister Anthony Albanese as he advises the Crown, chairs federal cabinet, supervises the ministry, and represents the government. We pray for godly wisdom and discernment, love and compassion for all our leaders, including Peter Malinauskas, Premier of South Australia, and the local mayors in Moira Jenkins of Victor Harbour, Daryl Houston of Yankalilla, and Keith Parks of Alexandrina Council areas. We uphold the leaders of our Lutheran Church in Bishop Paul Smith and Bishop Andrew Brook, and pray that they be supported physically and spiritually by those you have placed around them, especially during Pastor's Conference and General Synod. We pray particularly for Pastor Nigel and Amelia, that you will continue to bless them in the ministry that you have called them to amongst us and the people of the Victor Harbour area. Be their strength and wisdom during Pastor's Conference, General Synod, and their week of holidays. Bless the board and staff of Harbour Village as they work out your love and compassion in the lives of the residents and the governance of Victor Harbour Lutheran Homes going forward. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry of Encounter Lutheran College to so many families across the Fluorio. We hold up to you the teachers and staff as they bring the love and compassion of Christ into the lives of the students. Be with all those who are struggling in life in any way, and we pray for healing in body, soul, and spirit for those we bring to you now in this time of silence. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us join together with the words of our Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And let us be upstanding and declare the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I hand over to John Garrett.
Come to a time where we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We pray. God of love, we come before you in adoration and praise. We thank you for your invitation to receive of the sacred meal. Thank you that no one is outside of your welcome. Not a single person need to be cut off from the blessings that you rain down on us. For blessings, for love, for grace, and for hope, we give you our thanks. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after the supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As we gather around the Lord's table and make the death and resurrection of Jesus our own by sharing in the bread of life and the cup of salvation, we become together the living body of Christ. And now I ask the helpers to come forward, and in the meantime, the ushers will direct you to the table to receive the bread and the wine. There is gluten-free wafers available should you need this. Wine is in the cups and in the large trays, juice is in the small trays. People who do not wish to partake of the bread and wine for whatever reason are still welcome to come forward and receive a blessing. The tradition has it that you would indicate the choice of folding your arms across your chest like that.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world. it a brand new life, and I will hasten to hasten, so glad and free. Jesus, greatest highest, I will come to thee.
Jesus, the keeper of peace, and
The body of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and his precious blood strengthen and preserve us in body and soul to life eternal. Amen. Let's pray. In all our doubts, dangers and confusion, teach us, Lord, what we are to say and do. Just as we have received the body and blood of Christ in this sacrament, so you have nourished and strengthened us so that we may proclaim your love in our words and actions. Amen. And the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. The Lord look upon us with favour and give us peace. Amen.
It's what the Lord has done.
Thank you, John and Vic, for taking the service today. And Derek and Jasmine, what beautiful music. Well done, you two. And thank you to everyone who's worked so tirelessly behind the scenes to put the service together. A lot of work goes into a service. As is our practice, Vic will be available over here to my right after the service if anybody would like private prayers today. Tea and coffee is available in the hall, and that is for our weekly fellowship time. And if you're a visitor here and after you've had your coffee, please sign our visitor's book if you haven't already done so. It's on the welcome desk out there. Daylight saving starts next week, and so you'll have to get up an hour earlier. Just saying. I send you all out into the mission field. Go in peace because you bear the name of Christ. God bless your week. Amen.